Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, that's page 952 in your pew Bible. If you're using a Bible app, I can't tell you what page it is. You're on your own. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. We're going to read through verse 20. We're going to be here, God willing, on this passage this Sunday and next Sunday. Because the next 2 weeks I want to talk to you about the topic of I am thankful. I am thankful. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you and God bless the reading of His Word. Thank you so much. Well, this Thursday, we will once again celebrate Thanksgiving. If you go back and read some of the history of Thanksgiving, you find that Thanksgiving has been around longer than just we as Americans have celebrated it. In fact, there are records that even the Native Americans, before we ever arrived in this country, were celebrating a form of Thanksgiving. But in 1863, Abraham Lincoln declared that the fourth Thursday of every year, of every November, would be celebrated as Thanksgiving. And it will be this year, just as Abraham Lincoln envisioned it some 150 so years ago. It'll be a day of eating and napping and eating and watching football, and eating, and preparing for Black Friday, and then watching football while eating, and then standing in line at Best Buy beginning at 2 a.m. in order to purchase the latest electronic gadget. For many, Thanksgiving is a day off work and a time to gather with family. I heard someone say this week, you'll be gathering with people you like and people you don't like. But the scripture admonishes us to be thankful people. Not so much to celebrate one day out of the year that we call Thanksgiving, but to be people who give thanks at all times for all things. To have an attitude of gratitude. To be more involved in thanks living than we are necessarily in a holiday called Thanksgiving. So this morning, I want to share with you a few reasons that we should be thankful people. First of all, thanksgiving is proactive. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 said, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. In other words, Paul assumes that this is what we're going to do. He doesn't say when you do this, or if you do this, or when you come to church on Sunday morning and you have to do this. He says, as you do this, it is part of our living to be people who are giving thanks, people who are singing songs and hymns and psalms among ourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. You say, well, Rodney, I can't sing. Sing in your heart. Make a melody in your heart. Thanksgiving is more than saying thank you after the action. You know, we teach our children, or at least we used to teach our children, to say thank you. If someone does something for you, you say thank you. Say thank you. I hear sometimes parents will say this. You do something, they say thank you. Thank you. It's something we teach our children, to be thankful. But what Paul is talking about is more than saying thank you after the action. It is not receiving a blessing from God and saying thank you. Now, I will tell you, Whenever I meet a client, before I go in the appointment, I'm sitting in my car, I say, Lord, I'm asking for your favor. Give me favor with this client. Give me wisdom to present to them the best plan, and then give me favor so that they say yes. Give me boldness so when they're in that point of I've made the presentation and answered the questions, and they're in that kind of stalling thing where you're waiting on them to say something, give me boldness to grab my iPad, set it out in front of them, and said, give me 5 minutes and I'll have this done. Give me favor, Lord. But then when I'm walking out of their business, walking back to my car, I try to make it just the same way. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you that you were with me. Thank you for favor. Thank you, Lord, for a sale. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. I try to do that whether they're smart enough to do what I tell them to do or not. I don't walk out and say, Lord, help them to not be so dumb. No, Lord, thank you for the opportunity you gave me to meet with them. But giving thanks is not something we do after the blessing. It's not something we do when we realize that the refund check has finally hit our account, or the boss is going to give us a raise, or, you know, we got a great parking space. Thank you, Lord. No, it is part of our life. Listen to what the psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, so that thy youth is crowned with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Forget not all his benefits. Psalm 34, verse 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's part of our life. We are to be people of thanksgiving, people of thanks living. It is our lifestyle. I came across a quote by Helen Keller, and although she wasn't pointing it in this direction, I think it is so appropriate for being a people who are giving thanks. Helen Keller said this, and I quote, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." How many blessings do we not say thank you for? I've been thinking about it and talking to Sherry about this off and on all week, of all the things I had to be thankful for. I have sat in, as many of you have, I've sat at Big Bend Hospice waiting for a loved one. I've sat in a room watching as someone is taking their last breath. I've been to the hospital to see people who are gravely ill, as you have. Think about it. When you and I leave church today, every one of us will walk out to automobiles and get in them and drive to homes that have indoor plumbing and heat and air conditioning. I was listening to someone this week, and they were, it may have been Monday of this week, they were talking about that they were going to let some of the people in. There was a newscaster, and he was in a neighborhood in California, and he said, today they're going to allow the people who lived in this neighborhood to come home. And he said, this is what they will see. And they panned the camera. There was not a house standing. We have so much to be thankful for, not just in big things, in small things. Every time you and I pick up a fork and look at a plate, we ought to say, God, I want to thank you that I'm not hungry. Every time when the alarm rings in the morning and you cut it off and that thought goes through your mind, Oh, I've got to get up this morning and go to work. How good it is not to be standing in front of Walmart holding one of those signs. Tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock when the alarm gets off and I get out of bed, I'll hear my ankles and my knees and my hips all do the snap, crackle, pop. But you know what? I can say, Lord, I want to thank you. I can walk. I can get up out of this bed. There's so many things around us. Lord, I want to thank you. I may have to wear glasses to watch television because I can't see the score anymore, but I want to thank you, Lord. I can look out the window and see green trees. Be like Sherry. Lord, I want to thank you. Rodney's not all he ought to be, but I want to thank you he's not what he used to be. I'm still praying for him, Lord. We ought to be people who walk around. You say, oh, but, you know, and please don't think that I am belittling pain or belittling sickness or belittling grief. I am not. Please, I don't want you to think, well, you're just so callous this morning. You don't know what I'm feeling right now. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I'm not trying to belittle that. But I am saying this. We've got a whole lot to be thankful for. A whole lot to be thankful for. And Paul admonishes us to be giving thanks, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to your hearts and the Lord. The psalmist says, don't forget the benefits of God. The psalmist said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Paul said, give thanks to God even in the circumstances you don't like. Sometimes we have to look diligently and search out to find something to be thankful for. But find it and grab onto it and say, Lord, I may be hurting this morning. I may have a migraine today. Things may not be going good at work. I may be behind on my goal for the year and not sure I'm going to make it up. But God, I want to thank you. There's something I can be thankful for today. Thanksgiving is proactive. Thanksgiving is beneficial. Did you know that science has proven that being thankful is good for you? The April 2015 edition of Psychology Today had an article that was titled, Seven Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude. Number one. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends, according to a study that was published in 2014. Number two, and this is a good one, gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Grateful people are more likely to take better care of their health. Number three, gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and anger. Gratitude increases happiness and reduces depression. Number four, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. According to a study conducted at the University of Kentucky, grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner even when others behave less kindly. Number five, grateful people sleep better. Hallelujah. According to a study published in 2011 in Applied Psychology, the psychologist who wrote the paper who conducted the study said, if you will spend 15 minutes jotting down grateful sentiments before going to bed, you will sleep better and longer. Maybe watching CNN is why you're having trouble getting to sleep. Maybe watching Fox News is why you're having trouble getting sleep. Maybe watching FSU football is why you're having trouble getting to sleep. Number six, gratitude improves self-esteem. A paper was published in a journal called the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology in 2014. And the study found this, that gratitude increases an athlete's self-esteem. Number seven, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but also plays a major role in overcoming trauma. They studied a group of veterans who came home from the Middle Eastern skirmishes and wars. And what they found was this: those veterans who returned from combat with higher levels of gratitude experienced far lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Being thankful is good for you. It's not just good for the people around you, but being a person of gratitude benefits you. Gratitude develops maturity in relationships. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, we read verse 20. Giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, we didn't read, but it says this: be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Paul then goes on to talk about family and marital relationships. Oftentimes when we want to preach about marriage, we want to start in verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Some of you guys just bumped your husband and said, he's getting ready to talk to you right now, honey. Make sure you get this tape, sweetheart. And then we go on where Paul also said, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. But really, Paul began that teaching in verse 20, where he said, give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in essence, what Paul was saying is this: wives, it is physically, emotionally, fleshly impossible to submit to your husbands as unto Christ. Husbands, it is physically, emotionally impossible to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. If you try to do it without first of all having an attitude of gratitude. Lord, I want to thank you for this person that you brought into my life. And Lord, he doesn't see everything the way I see it. And Lord, she doesn't do everything the way I would like it done. But I want to thank you that you gave me that person as a gift to me. Sherry and I, sometimes, in fact, we did it this morning. I guess this morning about 6:30, I got up to go to the restroom. I come back to bed. As soon as I got back in bed, she went to the restroom, came back, and I knew I was awake. And I reached over, and as I'm reaching over with my hand like this, her hand hit me just like that. And I didn't tell her this, so I'm going to tell you now, hon. Whenever that happens, I try to say, Lord, I want to thank you that you've given me a wife that loves me and that cares about me. And I ask you, Lord, help me love her and help me always to be grateful for her. Because Paul said our love for each other, our submission to each other, begins by being thankful for each other. You can't love somebody the way Christ loved the church if you can't say, Lord, I want to thank you for her. You cannot submit to a man that you cannot first say, God, I want to thank you for giving me this person. Now, I'm not saying that all men are good. There are some that are, Sherry uses the term, stinkers. There are some women that it's just, well, I won't go there. I'll let Sherry talk about that another time. But I'm not talking about this, you know, you live in the Walton land, you know, where you say goodnight, Sherry, and she says goodnight, Rodney boy, and, you know, you just live in a fantasy world. You can't enjoy your job if you're not thankful to be there. If you walk into work every morning, I hate this place. This is the, oh my Lord. I don't like my boss. He doesn't understand. She doesn't understand me. I don't like this. And boom, you plop down in your chair or your cubicle or whatever it is, or you go on a sales call, and the whole time you're riding there, you're thinking to yourself, I despise this job, but now I'm going to get there. There's an attitude of gratitude. And Paul goes into the most difficult, what I think probably in reading, if you read Paul's letters to the church, would qualify as the most difficult topic that Paul touched upon in all of his writings, beginning in 1 Corinthians and going right on through to Colossians, or actually to 2 Timothy, that he had to deal with, because he was having to deal with men and women and parents and children. And before he goes into this touchy topic, the first thing that he says to them is almost, in essence, he says, before I talk to you about your wives and your husbands and your children and your parents, I want to lay a groundwork. I want to lay a foundation. And the foundation is this: be thankful. Be thankful. Be a person of gratitude. And then lastly, thanksgiving reminds me that I'm in relationship. Thanksgiving is the working out of my harmony with the Trinity of God. Listen again to what Paul said. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But now listen to this next part. But be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 20, giving thanks to God the Father. So now he's mentioned the Holy Spirit, now the Father, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul draws the triangle, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He compiles it right here, and he ties it all together with thanksgiving. Don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit and give thanks to God. My relationship, thanksgiving, reminds me that I am in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of who I am. It gives me identity. It gives me purpose. It gives me destiny. It says to me that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have brought me into a relationship, not because I earned it, not because I deserved it, not because I was good enough, simply by the grace of God shown through the death and resurrection of Christ, and further exemplified through the Father sending the Spirit to live inside me to remind me of who I am. Thanksgiving opens the door in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit say, you belong to us. It gives me identity. My identity is not found through U.S. Bank. Your identity is not found through Social Security. Your identity is not based upon your 401k. Your identity is not based upon your political party or your political bent. Your identity is based upon giving thanks to God and letting that be the door that opens up your heart to who you really are. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. Therefore, and listen to this, glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. Be thankful. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints. He's rescued you from the power of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of His Son. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I am called, you are called, to be a person of thanks. Paul said, you were bought with a price. Give thanks to God. He said, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through pain. Endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. Thanksgiving reminds me, and I'm not talking about Thursday, Thanksgiving, thanks living, being a person of gratitude, being a person who lives in giving thanks, reminds me that I am in a relationship with God the Father. You know what? The truth is, when you and I stand before God on Judgment Day, and that is coming, it's going to happen, not one of us will stand there and say, God, you did this, and you did that, and you mistreated me, and you didn't give me this, and you didn't give me that. No, the Scripture says that every knee will bow, and every tongue will give thanks to God, and will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. If I live in thanksgiving, if I live as a person who gives thanks, if I live in an attitude of gratitude, doesn't mean I'm not going to have pain. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. It's not going to be, doesn't mean I'm not, that I'm going to feel on top of the mountain all the time and everything's going to be perfect. No, doesn't mean that at all. But it means that I'm walking as a thankful person. And I'm looking for the good. And I'm looking for the what God is doing. Well, I think I've talked about this long enough. But I want to encourage you, not just on Thursday, but I want to encourage you as we leave this house today and we go about our day, go about our week, that maybe we should say, Lord, am I a grateful person? Am I grateful? When I talk to other people, what's the main thing I talk about? Am I living thanks? Am I a giver of thanks? Am I someone, Lord, that yes, Lord, I do. Sometimes I say, God, I got a headache. Lord, things aren't going good at my job. I'm behind my goal. I need some help. Yeah, we say those things. This isn't a thing of, okay, well, we can't talk about reality anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this, am I grateful? Even in the midst of the things that I don't like, and the things that upset me, and the things that aggravate me, do I come back to that place of, Lord, I've still got a lot to be thankful for. You've still done a lot for me, Lord. I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to move from thanksgiving to thanksliving. So, Father, we come today to give you thanks. To say, Lord, that regardless of how we feel, regardless of what's going on in our body or our finances or our emotions or our marriage or with our children or grandchildren, regardless of what's going on at the job, Lord, we want to be people who live with an attitude of gratitude. Lord, it's so easy to get in habits of complaining and moaning and groaning. Lord, help us not to live in a bubble, not to say that, well, this isn't reality. No, Lord. To understand, just like Paul wrote and said, that you're going to go through suffering, but go through it with patience while giving thanks to God. Lord, help me be reminded that there is still good all around me. There's still something to say thank you, Lord, for in my life. And Lord, let our desire be that if Jesus tarries and we leave this earthly body as we know it, that we leave having an attitude of gratitude. And for that, Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.